You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
I suppose you're familiar with the phrase, be careful what you wish for. I do see some nodding heads. I suspect many of us have been at a place where we've really desired or yearned for something and really hoped that this might come our way, only to find that the result is not what we originally thought was going to be the outcome. Has that ever happened to you? It's at that point that we might want to utter the words, that's not what I wished for, right? That's not what I wished for. Well, there's some of that feeling at work as we continue encountering this amazing tale of Jonah. Now, a quick recap to make sure that we're all on the same book and page. Act 1, Scene 1. God called upon the prophet Jonah to bring a message to Nineveh, the great city, that they would be destroyed if they didn't repent. Scene 2. Jonah heard this message, and Jonah made a clear choice. There was no way he was going to do this, so he did what any prophet worth his salt would do. He ran the other way from God. So scene 3, remember how he booked passage on a ship to Tarshish, and he encountered this amazing storm, which resulted in his being thrown overboard by the crew. They did it because they hoped the storm would cease. Scene 4, Jonah and that encounter with that big fish, the whale. He's swallowed by the whale, and he stays in the whale's belly for 3 days, until, like Bo told us last week, the fish vomited him up on the beach. Act 2, Scene 1. Jonah begrudgingly brings the message to the people of Nineveh. And the Ninevites repented. And calamity did not come their way. Scene 2, the passage today. Friends, there's no other way to put it. Jonah was pissed off. Remember his words in this passage today? And now, Lord, please take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to now have to live. This is a really strange place to be, isn't it? The prophet has made this pronouncement to the people that doom was ahead of them and they needed to repent. And then the people actually listened to the prophet and did as requested, and miracle of miracles, they were saved. Jonah's anger is hardly appropriate. Doesn't it seem strangely out of place there? Yet there it is. There it is, and it really betrays what Jonah's wish was, his secret wish. I want the Ninevites destroyed. He didn't get his wish. Or at least it manifested itself in a different way. Because God had other plans which did not mesh with Jonah's wishes or his desires. The people listened and they repented, and as we are told, the great city and all its animals were saved. Now, on the surface, this just seems like a wacky story, doesn't it? It really doesn't make much sense. But then again, each week as we've explored the book of Jonah, we've reminded ourselves that there are much deeper meanings that we are best served if we approach Jonah as a symbolic story. So remember, one of the main groups of characters in the story are the Ninevites. They were Gentiles. They were the Goyim. And because of that, they were considered to be enemies of Israel. We've talked about that. Now, what we need to remember is for hardliners in ancient Israel, it was only God's chosen people who were to be the recipients of God's favor and God's grace. And this attitude, we might also remember, was reflected in the person of Jonah the prophet. We also remember it wasn't something only confined to this ancient era in which this story was told. The same attitude, if we think about it, held true in the time of Jesus. Remember that one of the critiques levied against him by religious leaders was his propensity to be among people who were considered dregs of society. And even those dregs, many of them were Jewish, and they had a problem with that. So imagine the case for people who were not Jewish, who were listening to Jesus, and who were gaining this understanding of what it meant to be a part of God's kingdom. Imagine what the attitude would have been towards those Gentiles. Well, the tale of Jonah, I suspect, was very challenging to those who heard this story, because it was really all about lifting up an alternative view of God and an alternative look at how God chose to interact with the human family. The prevailing mindset was that God had an exclusive relationship, and that's the word to emphasize, exclusive relationship with the children of Israel. They were the chosen people, after all, and because of that, they supposedly had special status. So you see, friends, the very act of God showing care to the Ninevites was the equivalent of a tectonic shifting plate of understanding. The story of Jonah was very, very clear. God's grace and God's care was not just reserved for the chosen people. It was there for everyone. So this whale of a tale is much more than just an interesting story. It was a radical statement and comment that was apparently circulating among God's people. Now, when you think about it, it's really amazing that something which almost seems to be heretical wasn't suppressed, wasn't written out of our Bible. Then again, sometimes we make the mistake of assuming that it's only in modern times that we have stretched ourselves with regard to making sense of God. In reality, it appears that that attitude predated us by several millennia. Not all were in agreement about exclusivity. They were not all in agreement about the nature of God, finding ourselves in much the same place today. Think about that. This was a heretical story that was being circulated among God's chosen people. This was a story where the prophet didn't get it right, but the Gentiles got it right. Talk about topsy-turvy. Well, if we change gears and take a look at this story on a very personal level, there are certain parts of it where our nature becomes what I'd like to say is overexposed. You see, we want to believe that we fully know God, and even more, we want to believe that if we say the right thing or that if we act in a particular way, we can manipulate God's actions to our liking, right? If we're honest, don't we think about that sometimes? We want to believe that the things that we affirm as right or wrong, the attitudes we hold about certain groups of people, have to be the same as God's and that they are God's. As Christians, we've even in some of our circles concluded that we have a monopoly. We have a monopoly on how it is we are to seek God. I think some of you probably noticed the recent bulletin board that went up on Westwood Boulevard, because it wants to remind us every time we drive by that there is only one way to God. And it's a way that excludes everyone who is not a certain kind of follower of Jesus. Another point that comes to us from this story of Jonah is that we really don't want to listen. Again, we prefer to tell God, and tell others what to do and how they should believe. And in the process, we really stop to consider stopping and listening to see if we really understand how God might be calling each of us to respond. In fact, I believe it is quite easy for us to miss the cues altogether, the same way that Jonah absolutely could not understand how God was choosing to work. And the result for Jonah was this feeling of anger betrayal. Well, perhaps if Jonah had stopped to listen, understand, maybe even ponder what was going on, rather than get himself all worked up, maybe there would have been an epiphany, a point at which God and God's justice and God's hope and God's yearning to redeem the world would become very, very real to him. Well, at this junction in the story, it didn't appear that Jonah was at all ready for that kind of conversion of understanding. I think it's fairly obvious how this is an important message for the larger church to hear. We see far too much polarization in this country. We seem to have this need to exclude and determine those over who God should show favor. And we know quite well that we have a long history of excluding in ways that are contrary to the gospel. We have our modern-day Ninevehs that we believe should be beyond God's grace. But just like the tale of Jonah, God's Spirit continues to confront us as if to say, really? Really? Do you think you know all and should determine who is worthy of my love and my grace and my redemption? Really? Even more important is how this story speaks to each of our everyday lives, what we do every day. What might we learn from this story? Well, if we are to avoid being like Jonah, it is extremely important for us to work at cultivating a deep relationship with God. It is safe to say that Jonah did not understand God's response because Jonah only wanted to deal with God on Jonah's terms. A healthy relationship with God is one which is based on humility, one which allows for there to be sufficient time to consider what God might be calling us to do and be. Probably even more important is the lesson that God will be God. It is not our job to mandate. It is not our job to box in or to prevent the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of others. Letting God be God is not easy because it requires trust. It requires an openness that is aided by our consistently finding time in order to separate ourselves from all the distractions so that we can bask in God's love and God's grace. Why do we do that? Because it is in those times that we can come to the realization that all of us are beloved children of God. In other words, friends, there are no Ninevehs. There are no separations. It's those times that we most grapple with that concept that we need to let God be God. Jonah thought he knew better than God. Jonah closed himself off from being transformed by God because he thought, again, he might be better. Well, what kinds of relationships are we cultivating with God? Is it on our terms or God's terms? Are we willing to let God be God? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.